in Jesus. Now, really quickly, let two people know God loves you and God wants a relationship with you. Come on. God loves you and God wants a relationship with you. That is what Christmas is all about, is God loves you and God wants a relationship with you. So many times in our lives, isn't that what we struggle with? Because all of us have this longing for God. We are searching for God. We are searching for something. And that is what Christmas is all about, God with us. So as we're getting ready to get our hearts prepared for where we're going to be today in the scripture, we're kind of going to be in a space and place we set up last week in the Gospel of Luke. But how many of us today have a favorite Christmas gathering? Like you think of something like there's a certain Christmas party or a certain lunch or a certain time that you look forward to, right? Now think on top of that when it comes to getting our heart in the right place. How many of us maybe have a certain way we put up decorations? Like you do this first, you put your Christmas tree this way, you do this, these ornaments go on this tree, this goes in this space. And now that you've got this gathering and you've got this decoration in your brain and in your heart, I want you to think of the people that are surrounding you. Are they people you don't like? Now, you may not like them all the time, but at that moment in time, they're probably not people you don't like. You may even get along with them. Perhaps you even love them. And the reason I want us to talk about this as we talk about the joy of Christmas today is how in the world do you know you love something? You share it. You know, we were always taught like, hey, if you love something, you got to be able to let it go. It's got to be able to spread its wings. And if it loves you, it'll come back, right? And how many times doesn't it come back? Like, that's why I played Duck Hunt, because every time it came back, I did it, and the dog, like it made fun of me, right? But really, honestly, think about this. If you love something, you share it. If you love something, you share it. So when you love putting up Christmas decorations, you share it with those you love, and those that love you want to share in that with you. If you love something, you share it. Most people know I love football, so this time of year, they always ask, did you watch the game? And they've got the same answer the past probably few years. No, I don't have time. But I do enjoy football. I try to do that, and the people that love me try to enjoy football with me. But let's go to something that I do enjoy that I have had people with, wrestling. How many of us like wrestling, right? Like, we love it. We get together. We love wrestling. Like, I'm not talking about like Greco-Roman, like Olympic wrestling. I'm talking about like, you know, the male soap opera that is professional wrestling, right? Like that kind of thing, because that's really all it is. Like, you can say what you want to, but it is the modern male soap opera. You're welcome. That's how we go. So when it comes to that, though, I want us to have that heart. I want us to think of the heart of God, because the heart of God is love, and He is trying to share something with each and every one of us. And that's why we get to have fun. If you missed a little bit earlier, as we were praying, even in the welcome, the reason we do these funny little things at church isn't a gimmick, isn't something that just sounds crazy, is because I don't know about you, but heaven ain't gonna be boring. It's gonna be fun, right? We're all gonna be praising God in a different way. We're all gonna be talking and have different parts of our story realize how they come together in Christ Jesus. It's going to be fun. So we try to have fun at church. And so I don't know about you, maybe you don't want to be in the fun corner of heaven, but I'm going to be, because I'm hard-headed and the Lord has to speak to me through jokes, so I'm going to laugh. And so many times for me and you, I hope today we can share a laugh as we dive into the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And so let's lean into the Word of God. If you want to get where we're going to be in Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1. Very familiar if you've grown up in church or you've watched a little bit of Charlie Brown. If you know where this is, we're going to be walking through the story and be reminded of the Lord being with us with Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus. Last week, we set this up talking about John the Baptist's parents, and that was, if you remember, Elizabeth and Zechariah. We're going to see Elizabeth show up here in just a moment, but let's see what it means with the Lord being with you, because this ugly sweater, I promise you, has a purpose today. I hope we have fun with that. Now, mine's not ugly. Snoop's the man, the real man, the original, the OG Snoop, Snoopy. But I'm just saying, it's not an ugly sweater, but it's a sweater, so it counts. So here we go, Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. If you have your Bible, go ahead and get there. As always, you can download our free Vine Church app before you go home today. Download that in the parking lot. It'll help you keep up with us, our information hub, but it's a place and space for you to take notes. Also, if you're watching online, make sure you do that. And as always, I'm thankful Zach Candler makes sure that our scripture is on the screen each and every week. So that way, wherever you're watching around the world, our Vine production team will make sure that you can follow along with us. If you're in Luke chapter 1, give me an amen. Amen. In the house of the Lord today. Let's pick up in verse 26 and see how the Lord is with you today on Ugly Christmas Sweater Sunday. It says this, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, now last week we talked about her, she's pregnant with John the Baptist, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, really quick, I'm not going to spend too long on there. The reason Luke is writing this is those who are Jewish would know that the Messiah would come in the lineage of David, okay? So to you and I, outside of this, it may make no difference that Jesus is in the lineage of King David. But to a Jewish person that grew up, oh, like your ears would perk up. Okay, all right, so now all of a sudden, what Isaiah and Jeremiah were talking about is this guy in the lineage of David. Okay, it's starting to click, but for you and I, we may miss that. So just kind of putting that as a little aside there. And the towns that they prophesied Jesus would come out of are listed there as well. Verse 28, the angels went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." And there it is, church. The Lord is with you. Wouldn't you love to stop in 28 before we get to 29? Like, I don't know about you, but I just wish, like, I could stop there. All right, Lord, that's good. I'm highly favored. I'm going to go buy my lotto tickets. I'm going to go get my thing. I'm highly favored. You with me, right? You're going to give me the numbers. I'm going to get the scratchers. I'm going to go ahead and go, and the grocery store prices are going to be cheaper than ever. Somehow I'm going to get free gas. I don't know what it is, but you're with me because I'm highly favored. In other words, I'm a pretty big deal. We all want to feel that way, right? Yet we see it goes on to verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. See, what we have to be reminded of is Christmas is a revelation to each and every one of us that there's more than our eyes can see. We have angels existing. We're about to see and be reminded God exists. We see prophets existed. There was something they were pointing to. The Messiah existed. The Holy Spirit we're about to see exists. The question is, will we have the eyes to see it? Or will we be like Santa Claus with those M&Ms? Like, I don't know if that commercial even comes on anymore. You have the red and the yellow M&Ms standing there, and they're like, the red one's like, "He does exist." And Santa's putting the toys out and says, "They do exist." And he passes out. Like, what good is Santa passed out? Thanks, Eminem. I didn't get my presents on time. Like, what in the world? Like, Christmas does this. All of a sudden, it helps us see, whoa, there's something greater than my eyes can see. And if that's the case and I consider that, then maybe, just maybe, there's hope for me. But we're going to see Mary's response is very similar to Zechariah. She's got some fear. She's got some questions. It goes on in verse 34, and it says what her questions are, and we see the angel, which is Gabriel, respond to her. It says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary.'" Makes you wonder what the angels look like, right? They all look like me. That's the same thing I have to say to people when I walk in a room. "Don't be afraid. I know I'm a big deal and all, but don't be afraid." But really, we see this. Look throughout the Christmas story. Those are what the angels say to the shepherds in the field. Don't be afraid. We just heard Zechariah last week. Don't be afraid. It makes you wonder what these angels look like. It goes on to say, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And that's what I'm walking out the room again. I'm done. All right, thanks. I don't want to hear anymore. I got favor with God. I'm good. But he goes on to talk about this crazy, ugly sweater that Mary's about to have to wear. Verse 31, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever." What we just sang and worshiped, that song we just sing, "He will reign forevermore. His kingdom will never end." Yet look at Mary's faith. "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." See, Mary's response is the same as Zechariah's last week. Remember, Zechariah's last week was, "Dude, I'm like in my 90s. I don't know how we're going to have kids. Like, how can this be? I'm old, and I would never say that my wife's old. She's just advanced. She's wise in her years. We're past childbearing age. How can that happen?" Mary's in this moment of time, and her thoughts and her logic and what her eyes can see, it does not process how she can be pregnant because she's a virgin. Yes, she's about to marry Joseph, but how in the world is this going to happen? Remind us of this today. Maybe you're in a season of questions with God. He's not afraid of them. He's big enough to take them, and he's good enough to walk with you through them. Now pay attention. I didn't say he's good enough to give you the answer that you want. Right? As the prophet Garth Brooks said, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers, right? You're welcome. You'll listen to that in the parking lot. Wherever you are, I want you to know today, God can handle your questions. God can handle what you're struggling with. God can handle why you were struggling with, why they hurt you, why they left you, why they did that to you. Bring that to God. Maybe you're in a season where God is calling you to wear this crazy, ugly sweater of being pregnant as a virgin. Now, we'll go to the implications of that here in a moment, but I just want to make sure this is clear because we're in the house of the Lord. It says Mary was pregnant, not Joseph. Joseph didn't decide he was going to be pregnant. Mary is pregnant and going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Yet she wasn't afraid to walk blindly 100% in faith. She understood that her faith was an informed faith. The angel said, hey, this is everything you learned about the Messiah. He's going to be in the lineage of David, in the house of Jacob, all the way back to Abraham's promise, and he will reign forevermore. You will give birth to the Son of God. Holy, you know. I would just be like, she's got to be dumbfounded. She's a teenager. She's trying to work this out, but she gives it to the Lord. Here's a question for you and I as we think about this. Think about what Mary was probably doing. She's probably planning the wedding. I've got the engagement. She's planning the wedding feast. She's trying to figure out who's going to sit where. And now she's like, yep, parents aren't sitting together. That one's not going over here. Like in her brain, how is this going to work out? And now all of a sudden we're living in this two-story townhome. All the living quarters are upstairs. We don't have room for a baby. We got to walk the baby upstairs everywhere we go. Like, oh my goodness. And the laundry's at least upstairs, but we got to first get everything up there. We haven't even nested. We don't even know what the crib is. At least we know it's a boy. We don't know what color the room is. And you've given us the name that is Jesus, which is actually Yeshua, which means God is salvation. We've got that at least, but she's struggling with this. Yet we're about to see her walk forward in faith. Here's a question for you and I. What would you and I do if God called us to wear an ugly sweater? What the world would say is an ugly sweater. What the world would say disqualifies you from being anything of status, anything of following, anything of guru. Would you be willing to wear the ugly sweater God calls you to if it brought him glory? Would you talk to the person that you wouldn't talk to otherwise? Would the person who always messes up the decorations, you invite them to help you put up the decorations? With the person's food that you have to hold your nose with real quick and you don't chew much, you swallow, you know, like the turkey at the Christmas vacation table. It's a little dry. Would you invite them? Would you wear that ugly sweater? Because we're about to see Mary is willing to wear this ugly sweater because it brings God glory. Now the second question is, would you be willing to wear that ugly sweater if it cost you something? Cost you your status. It cost you the perfection you thought you were pursuing. It cost you the career that would have made you comfortably retired, right? Isn't that what we say all this time? Comfortably retired. It cost you the status of being in this space, in this house, in this place. Would you still wear that ugly sweater? We go on to see the angel not being afraid to answer Mary and her questions in verse 35 to 38. And this angel is Gabriel, as we said, God's PR messenger who showed up to Zechariah last week. It says this in verse 35 to 38. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." I love this, church. Verse 37, frame this, highlight this, keep this, because we all need to be reminded of this. And this is why the angel ends with it. "For no word from God will ever fail." Before we get to 38, really quick, this important that the angel ends with that, because that's a statement of faith. He's given all of this, like Matthew 1, if you ever read that before we get to Joseph in a minute, it's the genealogy of Jesus. We're not going to go through all of that, so don't think I'm going to keep you here forever with that. But this is the word of God flowing all the way from creation down, and this is what the angel of the Lord is saying. Hey, Mary, he's been faithful this far, and he'll be faithful forever. If this is what God said he's going to do it, and it will not fail. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. This is important for us to be reminded of. Mary's responding in faith here and saying, I'm your servant. If you ever were to look at the Greek word for that is doule. Doule is the name of it. And it means slave. I am the Lord's slave. Now, we don't like that word in our country, in our culture. As a matter of fact, we don't like hearing the word slave, but I'm just going to help you understand where Mary was and maybe where you are today. We're either a slave to Christ or a slave to sin. The choice is ours. And when I say sin, sin is anything that is not Christ Jesus and trusting him in faith. Sin is anything in this world. Sin is trying to be a good person, trying to get your name on bricks, trying to give, trying to serve. Good is anything. This slave is anything that is not Christ Jesus. You are chained to that. And that will lead you to death. Only being chained to Christ can you have life. So Mary has this crisis of faith, and she has a decision. Will I trust the Lord or trust myself? Will I trust the Lord or trust my status? Will I trust the Lord or trust my marriage? Will I trust my husband? Will I trust my family? What will I trust more, the Lord or anything else in this world? Church, that's a decision we all have to make every day. What am I going to be a slave to today? Am I going to die to myself in the world and be chained to Christ? Or am I going to try to sever my tie with Christ and be chained to the world? Now, God's love is, in spite of us, he still pursues us. But church, make no mistake, we have to make that choice. See, Christmas allows us to take this step of faith that Mary has. Now, I want you to look at this. If you and I were looking for a perfect faith, we would say Mary, quote unquote, didn't have a perfect faith because she had questions, right? That's how I grew up in church. Oh, you don't question the Lord. Yet when I read his word, he's okay with me questioning him. It's not a perfect faith, but instead a starving faith, a faith that says, okay, Lord, if this is what you're calling me to do, this is what we're going to do. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why you've called me to go there. I don't know why you've told me to do this thing. I don't know why you've told me to give this offering to this person. I don't know why you've told me to serve this person. But Lord, as much as I can't stand them, I'll wear that ugly sweater. Because you love me and I love you. And I want to share with you in that. What I love about this is, remember, Jesus left us two things. He didn't leave us a big list of doctrines to follow. He didn't take the 600-plus Pharisaical laws and say, in Levitical law, and say, hey, follow all of these things. He said, no, the law and prophets are fulfilled in these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, chain yourself to the Lord, and by chaining yourself to the Lord, being a slave to him, you'll wear that ugly sweater and love your neighbor as yourself. Even if they chose the wrong team to pull for on rivalry weekend. Even if they chose who your rival is. Even if they choose, even if they don't like your Christmas decorations, even though you left them up through Valentine's. I mean, whatever that is, and that's, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just going to say it is. There's red in it. That's Christmas. But wherever you are, whatever that is, will you be willing to wear that ugly sweater? Because Mary is. So Mary has decided, may your word be fulfilled, Lord. She says she is the Lord's servant. The angel leaves her. And now all of a sudden, somewhere in here, we don't know the exact time. And if you want to get to Matthew 1, we don't know if, I'm going to venture to say something here that I would say Mary probably in this moment had some processing to do. But because she loves her husband, she has a conversation with her husband. If you're getting ready to marry somebody, I want you to know that's the important thing you have to do. So many times when you're getting married, you think that it can be a win-win or a win-lose or something like that. And I want to tell you, when it comes to marriage, there's only win or lose because you're together as one. And if you're not communicating, it's lose. If you come together in the Lord, it's a win. And so I'm assuming at this moment in time, even though that may be wrong, Mary's had a conversation. She's not showing she's pregnant, but she's like, I've got to tell Joseph. Because I love him, and I don't know how he's going to take this. Just imagine, like, she's gone to Mari and found out the baby isn't Joseph's. And she's coming to Joseph and saying, hey, this baby ain't yours, but I still want to get married to you. So before we beat Joseph up, think about that. Men, think about your pride. Think about everything you have there. And before you be like, well, who does he think he is trying to divorce her? Think about this. This was your status. This is who you were. Your name was your word in this moment in time. And now this woman that he loves, he's going to marry, says, hey, I'm having a baby. It ain't yours. It's the Son of God. Like, imagine that. Well, he's a son of something, but it ain't God. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, even better yet, when she told him he was a boy, like, that's probably the clue that there is something more going on, because, you know, they didn't have sonograms or whatever at that moment in time. So for the angel to say that, but Mary comes to him and Joseph is in a dilemma. So if you've got your Bible, flip to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to be in verse 19 to 25, and let's see how Joseph processes this in faith. And it says this in verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. There it is again. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, which is Isaiah in this. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, Luke goes in a ton more detail in the story of Jesus being born, but what I love about the conciseness here of Matthew is I want you to consider where Joseph was. He could have divorced her at first, and rightfully so, because at that time, the only way that you could divorce someone is, one of the only ways is adultery, right? I mean, Jesus fought with the Pharisees. They said, well, Moses let us get it if we had reconcilable differences or blah, 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 and that's okay, that happens. But at that time, that was it. You couldn't. And adulterers usually got stoned. So it's one of the, and I'm not talking stoned like the legalized stoning, like literally throw rocks at them, stoned, killed, done. So Joseph could have done that and saved his reputation. I want you to consider this, though. Joseph could have married her after Jesus was born, couldn't he? The baby's not going to look like him, right? And then he's noble. He did a good thing. He took on somebody else's child for her. Yet, instead, before she is showing to be pregnant with Jesus, he marries her. He says, you know what? I'm going to wear this ugly sweater with you. I'm going to share this with you, Mary, because I love you. We don't talk about Mary and Joseph's marriage a lot, but that's some strong faith, is it not? Him saying, I'm willing to take this on with you. When he easily could have done something else, instead, he shows his love. And so the question I have for each and every one of us when it comes to our ugly sweater that God may be calling us to wear is this. When God calls you to wear that ugly sweater, what do? A lot of times we reject the Holy Spirit, don't we? I didn't hear you say that, God. You were talking to somebody. Wrong number. It said potential spam on my phone, so you called the wrong person. It wasn't me that you gave that to, Holy Spirit. Perhaps you were looking for another Tyler. Instead, we like to reject the Holy Spirit. But here's my question today. I wonder how much blessing we would get to be a part of if we just listened to the Holy Spirit. Because look at Joseph and Mary here. They didn't leave anything on the table. They went all in together for the Lord. Both willing to do this. And you think about the story of Christmas. Both even willing to go to Bethlehem to be counted. And her expecting Jesus any moment. And yet they still continued to do what God called them. How easy would it have been for Mary to phone it in and be like, hey, this baby's coming. You can figure out Bethlehem later. I ain't going there. I'm going to be all right. I'll see you when you get back. The midwife's going to be here. And instead they roll up to Bethlehem and they're like, yo, three wise men are going to show up in a barn here in a couple of years. Like, that's where you're going to have the baby. Guess who's going to deliver it? The Chick-fil-A cow. Like, wherever you are, except on Sunday, he's not working then. But all the way through, that's what's going to happen. When we talk about Mary and Joseph's faith, before we go on and the Holy Spirit being left out, I want to ask you something before we get there, before my brain gets all over the place. It said that Jesus will save the sins of his people. I wonder if the angel would have said he will die on the cross for the people's sins if Mary and Joseph still would have been willing to do it? And the answer is no. Their faith wasn't ready for that. God grew their faith. He said, hey, you're faithful enough to take this step. See, the reason we like to be mad at the Holy Spirit is we want it all figured out. And the Holy Spirit, through the angel Gabriel, he said, hey, here's how you're going to have the baby. What if he said, hey, you're going to journey to Bethlehem and have nowhere to stay for the baby. There's no room for you at all except the stable. Would she be like, can we delay it a month or two? Like, can we try to get that scheduled out? Instead, they just took the step of faith. So for you and I, how many times do we reject the Holy Spirit just taking one step of faith? What I love about following Jesus, he isn't asking us to take 100 steps at once. He says, just follow me. I'm lighting the way one step at a time. But we often reject it because we're afraid of being wrong. We're afraid of being put down. We're afraid of our status being challenged. Statistically speaking, I don't know if I watch soccer every now and again. I try to act like I know a lot about it, but I don't. I just like hearing goal and everybody go nuts. Like, I think that's awesome. We should do that at church on Sunday when everybody walks in. Goal! Like, we should be excited. Sorry, I'm trying. We should be excited for that. But statistically speaking, in a penalty kick in soccer, I want you to know something that may blow your mind or remind you of this. When it comes to kicking a soccer penalty kick, 56% of the kicks go to the left side. 42% go to the right. So 56 and 42, church, equal what? Man, you didn't know you were going to get math in church. I heard it, 98. I heard it. I mean, it was so loud. I'm sorry you can't hear it for the mic. 98% go either to the right or the left. Only 2% go down the middle. What do you think's the easiest kick? Straight down the middle, yet we don't like it. That's too easy. That step's not good enough. That's going to hurt my pride. If I miss it when I kick it down the middle, I'm going to be made fun of. So I'm going to take a risky kick to the left or a risky kick to the right and hope that I fake the goalie out. God's calling you to a simple next step today. I don't know what that is. The Holy Spirit's pressing. And it might be to wear the ugliest sweater that the world calls you to wear. Trust him in it. Take that next step. Follow him straight down the middle. And I promise you, he promises in his word, no word of God will ever fail. He will make your path straight, not going from the right or to the left. When we keep trying to go from the right or the left, we miss out on the fullness of his blessing. That's what he always tells us. Do not go to the right or the left. So sometimes in our life, I hope we understand where Mary and Joseph are in this moment in time. Not only did this ugly sweater affect them, it affected you and I. What if we understood sometimes in our life, God wants to move more through the ugly sweaters that the world would say is an ugly sweater in our life? He works more through that in our life than the perfect storybook, this dress, Cinderella dress, a Cinderella prince that we think. Beauty and the Beast, right? We want that. We expect it to be perfect. Like, it's just going to be great. It's just going to be perfect. That's what it is. But he works more through those ugly sweaters. Maybe think of it this way. What if we understood God works more through the doors he closes than the ones he opens in our life? God closed the door on the perfect wedding for Mary and Joseph. Mary, it'd be like me. She's just like, I'm not turning to the side, Joseph. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to the side right now. Like, it was always a straight on picture. She wanted to make sure the best possible picture she should get. And you know, they were, I don't know how they did it. They had some good drawings back then, but whatever it was, like, the perfect wedding was over. The perfect life was over. The perfect savings account, the perfect house, the perfect preparation, the perfect nesting. All of that was over for the ugly sweater that God called them to wear. Whatever that ugly sweater is God's calling you to wear today, trust him in it. Because our response will tell us where our faith is. Once again, Mary and Joseph didn't know what was awaiting. They just understood that they had to respond in faith. Now, this is what I love about the story. Is you and I have free will in the story of Christmas. But let me ask you something. Just like Lazarus was risen from the dead by Jesus when he said, Lazarus, come forth. Did Lazarus have a choice whether he was going to rise from the dead or not? See, Mary, if she had that surrendered heart, she was going to be used by God one way or the other. His word would not fail. The question would she be the one that was willing to do it? And she said yes. See, faith requires a response. See, when we do what God calls us to, we get to be something, be a part of something that's so incredible we can't ask or imagine. I want you to think of the last time God called you to take a step of faith. Maybe it was to give to someone who was hurting. Maybe it was to serve the homeless. Maybe it was to help hurricane victims. Maybe it was a coworker that was just going through a tough time and you noticed it and nobody else noticed it and you just wanted to ask how you could pray for them. Maybe it was somebody, it was a single mom who had a kid you helped with sports. Maybe you helped them throw a football or you helped them play an instrument or you taught them how to do something. I don't know what that is, but think about when you took that step of faith and talked to them and had a conversation with them and how that worked out. How about the one that said, God is dead? You believe a fairy tale, and you had that conversation with them. How did that work out? Or did you just say, they've rejected him, I don't have time for him? How often we forget we were that person at one time, and the Lord put somebody in our path that he worked through. So I pray today that you and I would be that person he worked through, because we all long for something in the Lord. We all long to know that he is real. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you don't believe God is real. Maybe you don't believe any of this is real. You believe that this is a fairy tale. I would say, if you want to look at the word of God, it's funny that almost 800 years before what it is being prophesied in this moment in time from the book of Isaiah, as King Ahaz is there and God is telling him that he will be with him and his descendants will go on forever. What you don't know is Ahaz is surrounded and he's looking at certain death. And yet God says, hey, your lineage is going to live on. I'm still going to work through you. Maybe at this moment in time when you look at this and you see that God is real, maybe you think that Jesus didn't walk the earth. Jesus isn't real. And I would say outside of Christianity, there are two Roman people to think of, and that is Tacitus and Pliny. Tacitus was a Roman historian who documented the life of Jesus. Pliny was a Roman governor and author who documented the life of Jesus. Jesus is probably the most documented human in all of history. But Christmas is about him being more than that. See, oftentimes when it comes to these ugly sweaters, we think God is up here. If we have a belief that God is real, and we think he spends all of his time putting an ugly sweater on something as perfect as you and me. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you are perfect. I'm not perfect. Maybe you're 99.9% perfect. You're 99.9% pure gold or silver. I'm somewhere in the 30s. I'm fine with that because, gosh, 40 now. I'm fine with that. I'll claim that wherever that is. I'm not perfect. But here's the truth about you and I. We all know without Christ, we aren't perfect. See, the funny thing is, the biggest lie this world will tell you is that God is telling you to put an ugly sweater on. But sin itself left you and I born in an ugly sweater. See, the world will make you jump through all these hoops, all these ladders. It'll tell you, you got to go up the next rung of the ladder of your career. You've got to step over that person. You've got to backbite that person. You've got to put them down to lift yourself up. You've got to leave this person. You've got to hurt this person. You've got to harm this person. You've got to have this dream job or this dream relationship, achieve these goals by this age. You've got to have this bucket list when you get this age. You've got to have all of these things, and the world will keep making you try on different sweaters after different sweaters, saying, man, that's an ugly sweater. Man, that's an ugly sweater. You keep putting on, only for you to get to the top and realize that every person who was telling you that you were perfect and you were only putting on ugly sweaters are wearing ugly sweaters themselves. And the only reason that they're making you jump through those hoops is they're trying to make you believe that they aren't wearing ugly sweaters. See, you and I in sin are wearing these ugly sweaters. We can't do anything about that. See, in the garden, you and I, when we were created, you can read in Genesis, we were created, it didn't matter what we wore. Now, in this house, please, no shirt, no shoes, no service. I'm just going to let you know, in the house of the Lord. But in the Garden of Eden, when we were created, when God went to Adam and Eve, it didn't matter what they wore. They were covered in him. And all of a sudden, Adam and Eve said, you know what? Satan said, you know what? God's not going to kill you. I know he told you, you can have anything and do anything but this one thing. And that's the thing I want you to do. And so Adam and Eve put on that ugly sweater of sin, and they said, I know better for myself what looks good. This looks good on me. So they put that on, and they broke this relationship, this perfect relationship we have with God. What is sin? Sin is anything that is against the will of God that is perfect. It is anything that is not perfect. I said it earlier, none of us are 100% perfect. So all of us were born in sin with an ugly sweater. How easy would it have been for God to be like, they're all ugly, let's melt them down and let's try again. But instead, he said, man, I created you. I love you. I created you to have a relationship with me, and I want to share it with you because I love you, and I want you to share it with me. But because of this ugly sweater of sin, we can't be in the presence of God. Only death can get us to be where we need to be in the righteousness of God. And so God said, instead of leaving you in this ugly sweater, I'm going to come to you. And that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus, the only perfect being that's ever walked this earth, puts on this ugly sweater of sin for us, living the perfect sinless life you and I cannot live, giving us now all of a sudden access to having more than an ugly sweater to wear. He goes to the cross, paying the eternal atoning sacrifice, dying for us in our place, paying the wages of sin for us, now breaking the power of this ugly sweater of sin being on us for eternity. And then he loves us enough to rise again from the dead so that we can actually take this ugly sweater of sin off now, not for eternity. So wherever you are today, I wonder if you've considered Jesus. If you're looking for joy in this holiday, it's not in the decoration. It's not in a present under the tree. It's not in a gathering. It's not in a movie. It's not in an outfit. Joy can't be found under the tree. Joy can only be found for the one who hung on a tree for us. The writer of Hebrews reminds us of that. It says this, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus put this ugly sweater on for us and now gives us the opportunity to be rid of it. The question is, will we have the faith to do it? Or will we keep just trying on sweater after sweater after sweater, sweater of career, sweater of status, sweater of relationship, just sweater after sweater, hoping that it just hides a little bit of this ugly sweater enough for us to have a small amount of happiness but never have eternal joy? Jesus wants each and every one of us to have his eternal joy today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to know today, there's nothing you and I could do to earn this joy, to earn this privilege, to get rid of this ugly Christmas sweater. There's nothing you and I could do. We can't earn it. We can't work our way to it. We can't serve at the soup kitchen enough, give to enough charities, show up to church every Sunday, and get this free gift of salvation that is given to us through Christ Jesus. It's only God's love through his grace and mercy that you and I can receive it by faith. And so today, we're about to pray this prayer out loud, and it's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And here at the Vine Church, none of us pray together, so we pray out loud as a Vine fam for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time, ripping off this ugly sweater of sin to be now clothed in Christ and clothed in life for eternity. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat the words of this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today and you're watching online or you're in the house, wherever you are right now, wherever you're watching or listening throughout the week, I'm going to challenge you to do something that sounds really weird. It almost sounds ugly Christmas sweatery, but it's a bold step of faith. I would like for you, if it's for the first time, you have received this free gift of salvation from Jesus Christ through faith in him. I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand if this is the first time you have trusted him on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If you're in the house or if you're online right now, maybe you can shoot us a message online. You can shoot us a message in our app. You can reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. Shoot us a text message at 864-580-6698. We want to celebrate this decision with you because now all of a sudden you've got this ugly sweater off. The question is, what do I do next? And the place that you find out what that is, to continue to follow the Lord step by step as in a local church near you. And maybe the Vine isn't near you. We would always welcome you with open arms, but maybe you're closer to a local church and we would love to get you plugged into that. And for the rest of us, you can go ahead and stand up. We're about to get ready to worship. I just pray today that if Jesus has called us to wear an ugly sweater, whatever that is, we wouldn't be afraid to wear it. Maybe we can step into his presence right now and we can just lean into him and trust him to know that his word will not fail and that he is always with us through Christ Jesus.
Upon the midnight clear.
Somebody got it for me. I'm so thankful. We can sing that, right? Everybody did so great they had memorized. That was that third stanza we never sang growing up. That's where we got there. It was so awesome. We got to do that. We can celebrate the love of Jesus. And I'm so thankful that for our Vine fam, we can have fun at church. Because I just want to ask you really quick before we go on, and I invite you and remind you of next week. What does it say our resurrected bodies look like in heaven? One more. We got a mansion, but our resurrected body, what does it look like? What if it's wearing ugly Christmas sweaters? So don't make fun of us for having fun at church. I'm just saying, maybe it's Christmas PJs. And that's what we're wearing next week. So we're going to be excited about that. And I hope that you will come join us. And I'm so thankful for the joy of the Lord we get to share. And be reminded, if you love something, you share it. And I'm thankful that the Lord was willing to share his son with you and me. Have an awesome week. And always remember, the Lord is with you. And the best is still yet to come.